welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Great, Mike. How are you?
Good. The one thing that all of our listeners have said time and time again is that if you're taking antibiotics, don't stop taking them until the pill vial is empty, even if you're feeling better. This sort of 11th commandment, if you will, of stopping treatment too soon was always built around the idea that perhaps if a patient stopped taking the pills, that we're somehow going to contribute to antibiotic resistance. And perhaps the pharmaceutical industry was complacent in this, and they were advertising left and right, trying to get the public to take all of their antibiotics until they were gone. The interesting thing is that it turns out that what drives bacteria to resistance isn't the length of taking the antibiotic. There is a champion at Brown University Medical School, a fellow named Lewis Rice, who has sort of begun to question quite publicly. He's, by the way, the chairman of the Department of Medicine, quite publicly asking, where's the data for this? It actually, when you look historically, it goes back to the very beginning of antibiotics in the 1940s, when we first developed the concept of antibiotics and penicillin. Shortly after that, lots of antibiotics began to come along. And this ethos developed that you had to take the antibiotics. And it was really about the same time that research on tuberculosis began to suggest that underdosing patients with streptomycin was dangerous and that the infection would come back. And so that was extrapolated to all infections. And most of these infections have no randomized control trials looking at, 2 days, 5 days, 7 days, 14 days, etc. You found an article that begins to address a little bit of this issue. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. It asks the clinical question, is 5 days of amoxicillin and clavulanic acid inferior to 10 days of the drug in kids who have otitis media? Mark, what did this cool study do?
Yeah, this was a study by Hoberman and colleagues, and it was kind of interesting, actually. It led me to go back to his original work in the New England Journal of Medicine a few years ago, and that study found a benefit to antibiotics for kids 6 months to 24 months of age who had documented acute otitis media. And there was, I would call that a modest benefit. Basically, initial resolution was not statistically significantly different. At 7 days, it was 80% versus 74%. Then they talked about a sustained response, which was took into account recurrences. And with that, they did find a borderline statistically significant benefit. But this was enough. Number needed to treat was about 7 to 10. And that was enough to get guidelines to say, yep, we should definitely be giving antibiotics to those kids, that watchful waiting is not an option for them. Watchful waiting is encouraged for older kids and especially kids with less severe symptoms. So I was pretty underwhelmed by that original study. I wanted to go back and refresh myself on it. The current study randomized 520 kids in that same age group to either 5 or 10 days of amoxiclav. Those getting only 5 days were more likely to have a clinical failure at 10 days. So it was 16% versus 34%. The number needed to treat was 6. But clinical failure was fairly subjectively defined, worsening of symptoms or otoscopic signs, or if they didn't have a complete or nearly complete resolution. It was interesting. They found, actually, if you look at that original study, which compared 10 days of amoxiclav with placebo, remember there was only a 6% difference. In this one, they compared 5 versus 10 days, and there was a 14% difference. I mean, how do you get a bigger difference between two active treatments than in the original study between one of the active treatments and placebo? I mean, that didn't make any sense to me. So the other thing was, 30% had diarrhea, 33% had diaper dermatitis. So pretty significant harms. 1 in 3 kids had each of those adverse effects. They also looked at a symptom score, range of 0 to 14. No clinically significant difference. I think it was 0.6 points out of 14, so tiny little difference. So no difference in recurrence rates. No difference on the bright side of adverse events or colonization with resistant strains in the short-term group. So there really wasn't, it's not as if the five-day group had more resistant strains develop. When you look into the data, the benefit, and they did subgroup analyses, of the 10 days over 5 days was primarily in kids who had severe symptoms based on fever and pain, and those who are a bit older, the 1 to 2 year olds. So for kids with more severe symptoms, if you're going to give them an antibiotic, probably 10 days makes sense. If they have less severe symptoms, 5 days is nearly as good, and might have decreased the likelihood that they developed diarrhea or diaper dermatitis. Although, if I remember correctly, actually in this study, they didn't see a difference. It also makes me wonder, are we over-treating these kids with milder otitis mm-hmm. in the 1 to 2 year old age group? And I think in many countries, watchful waiting is also recommended as an option for them.
Do we have any idea what the incidence with these kids who present with the acute otitis media, how much of it is bacterial and how much of it is viral?
Yeah, I think I don't want to quote a number because I know that it certainly can be viral. I don't know what percentage. I'm pretty sure they're having studies where they did punctures and cultured the fluid. I couldn't tell you exactly what percentage were, but basically it's an abscess. And once the eustachian tube starts functioning again and it drains on its own, then, the infection is cured. So most of these kids get better on their own without treatment. 74% taking placebo at 7 days had resolution of their symptoms in the original trial, compared to 80% in the antibiotic group. So one other thing that was kind of interesting, amazing. And this was my colleague Ken Milne for PCMA, which is another podcast we do. He found that the lead author, Hoberman, actually has a patent on an oral formulation of amoxiclav. So it's like there is a little bit of conflict of interest here as well, which I was not aware of at all. This is a federally funded study, not industry funded, but he does have a patent, which was interesting.
That is interesting, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder if the New England Journal knew that.
Doesn't mean it was a bad study or biased, but you should always be at least aware and maybe look a little more closely when there is.
Well, and it should be disclosed. I agree that it doesn't damn the study in and of itself, but the reader should be able to know that information without having to dig into some archive.
Yeah.
Bottom line is that, there is a subgroup of patients when taking your antibiotics until they're all gone is really important, and others perhaps should still take them until they're all gone, but maybe we need to prescribe them for shorter periods of time, and it will do just as well.
Yeah, I always, when I'm joking with my students, that I supervise one evening a week, every couple of weeks, a group of first and second year medical students who are seeing their first patients. And, I ask them, why do you give 10 days of an antibiotic? And none of them have an answer. And then I just say, hold your hands out in front of you and count. How many fingers do you have? Because I think a lot of these start with 10. And for many conditions, we're starting to get down to 5. For pneumonia even, and some fairly serious conditions, certainly pyelo, UTI. It's good to see us thinking about these durations.
Yeah, UTI has gone way down, right?
Phosphomycin's a single day.
Exactly, Excellent, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right, looking forward to it.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.